Endangered species are a big business. The illegal global trade in protected animal and plant products is likely well into the tens of billions of dollars, and that is a lot of crime. But to help get to the bottom of it, there's only one top-notch forensics laboratory for wildlife in the world, and it's here in the U.S. Here's reporter Murray Carpenter.
At the International Mail Facility at New York's JFK Airport, an inspector is opening a box that's been flagged as suspicious. The inspector, whose name we're not using due to the sensitive nature of his work, reaches inside and pulls out a zebra skin. It's a fairly typical find for this U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service employee, barely worth batting an eyelash over compared to some of what he and his colleagues see.
One of the most weird things I saw here was a big box full of millipedes and scorpions and spiders, and there was one of those holy cow moments.
That's the inspector's supervisor, Naima Aziz. She says some of those creatures may have been protected species. But the inspector quickly determines that today's find is not contraband.
So this is a skin of a regular Burchell zebra. And you can determine the difference between the Burchell zebra and, let's say, for protected species zebra, which is a Hartman zebra, based on the stripe patterns on the skin of the zebra.
For trickier ID questions, though, the inspectors often pack up suspicious samples and ship them across country to a lab in the hills of southern Oregon.
We're going into a locked storage area within the evidence control area. So this is like the third level of security where we put valuable things.
That's Ken Goddard, who directs the Fish and Wildlife Service's forensic lab. It's basically a CSI unit for wildlife crime, and it's the only one in the whole world. Deputy Director Ed Espinoza says most folks have no idea what goes on here.
Most people believe that we're protecting deer and fish.
But Espinoza says the lab now takes on cases that can originate thousands of miles away.
A lot of the stuff we end up doing are major types of crime, international trade, very high value, rhino horn, ivory, endangered woods.
What we have here is four of the original 74 tusks that we got in a attempt to smuggle ivory from Africa to China.
Ken Goddard pulls one of the tusks off a shelf in the vault. He says along with investigating domestic poaching, the lab supports big international efforts, like the one trying to figure out where these tusks came from and who might have been responsible.
These animals were probably shot from the air. We can see the impact marks of the bullets in a downward direction.
After shooting the elephants, likely from helicopters, the poachers buried the tusks to hide them. That left some soil residue.
We used trace evidence techniques, getting at the soil that was inside the tusk and isolating the pollen, the insect parts, and other minerals. And it was really a process of elimination. So we started from the planet and worked our way down to a relatively narrow area across three countries.
To do this kind of sophisticated analysis, the scientists here use some of the latest CSI techniques, like this direct analysis real-time spectrometer. It sounds like a mini jet engine, but the machine blows a stream of helium at 800 degrees Fahrenheit at whatever material is being analyzed. Espinoza says the spectrometer can quickly identify many substances that might otherwise be impossible to trace, like a sample of tropical hardwood.
It has no morphological features. It doesn't have a leaf. So in many cases, this is the only way currently of getting identification in some of these samples.
The machine comes in handy in situations like the 2011 case when the Fish and Wildlife Service challenged Gibson Guitar over illegal imports of ebony and rosewood from India and Madagascar. To help crack their cases, the lab also keeps a library of 25,000 samples of DNA in what looks like a row of refrigerators.
The temperature is minus 70 degrees Celsius, which is roughly minus 100 Fahrenheit, which is seriously cold. But that's going to keep those samples usable for probably 50, 60, 70 years.
It was DNA that catalyzed the lab in the first place. Back in the 1980s, an Oregon resident was surprised to learn that the Fish and Wildlife Service couldn't analyze DNA. He began lobbying the state's U.S. senators to build a lab, and it finally opened in 1989. Along with its work here in Ashland, the lab's experts conduct trainings all over the country and the world to help wildlife agents like those inspectors at JFK identify illicit animal parts. Goddard says it all adds up to a lot of work.
We're trying to be the crime lab for 172 countries. It's not doable, but we try. We're their laboratory, and we're trying to make a difference.
And in many cases, they are. In one recent operation, work here helped bring down an international criminal network that smuggled dozens of horns from critically endangered rhinos. For the World, I'm Murray Carpenter, Ashland, Oregon.